In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is the I Spy Radio Show.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny.
Keeping an eye on big government.
We the people tell the government what to do. It doesn't tell us.
The trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant. It's just that they know so much that isn't so.
And now, here is your host, Mark Anderson.
Free speech, as we understand it, as a human right, began in England. In the thousands of years of mankind and the thousands of governments, kingdoms, and empires, it really wasn't until the 1600s that free speech was finally legally recognized as a basic human right. While the concept of free speech had been around for thousands of years, it really wasn't free speech because while you could speak your mind, if you thought the prince or king or emperor or the government itself was corrupt or flawed, you could be killed for what you said. The same was true if you spoke out against the gods or the church. In 299 BC, Socrates was found guilty by a jury of refusing to recognize the gods. That's why, in part, it wasn't until after the collapse of Catholicism in England, because you couldn't criticize the authority of the Pope, that free speech began to be recognized as a true human right. It was finally legally recognized in the English Bill of Rights of 1689, the direct forerunner of our own Constitution. And right now, this basic human right of free speech is under direct attack. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about Dr. Tim Ball, who was sued for speaking his mind against the government-sanctioned belief of global warming. And it is a belief. It is not science in the true sense of science. Now, in the UK, the very country that gave birth to free speech, we see free speech itself under attack. There are hundreds of examples of this. Journalists are being jailed for speaking out. But even everyday people face fines, jail, or forced sensitivity training. And they all have one thing in common: Islam. Two members of the Britain First movement were sent to jail for more than a year for hate crimes because they stood up and spoke out for rape victims of Islamic immigrants who had attacked native Britons. Three journalists were recently banned from even entering the UK because they wanted to meet with what were deemed anti-Islamic hate groups. The mayor of London, himself a Muslim, is demanding Twitter and Facebook censor posts within 24 hours. That's right. If you tweet or Facebook something that someone else considers hateful, you can come under intense pressure or be jailed, fined, even simply just banned from ever using those services. And it's already happening. We see this in Germany, Sweden, and a host of other countries that have all been overrun by Muslim immigrants and cultural jihadists who went to these countries to transform them. And that means taking away the rights of those native citizens and replacing them with no rights to criticize Allah or his followers, despite any number of crimes committed in his name. Joining us today is a former cultural jihadist, Kamal Saleem, who, after an accident, turned away from Islam. When those he'd been sent here to kill surrounded him with love, he turned his life over to Jesus and now shares his story with his former brothers in Islam in hopes of bringing them into the light as well. Kamal, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for being a salt and light for our nation.
So you were a cultural jihadist. Is it accurate to say that Muslims want to destroy free speech?
Absolutely. It is part of the agenda, because if you don't take your enemy with dishonor and shame them, the whole thing is about shaming your enemy, and by doing so, you will disable them. You know, as we see today, it's not just Islamism, but we see this as a globalist agenda, you know, to move in the United States and throughout the Western Hemisphere.
Hmm. So as a cultural jihadist, did you receive training in how to undermine free speech?
Absolutely. It's a protocol. And what is the protocol? Is always to shame your enemy and belittle your enemy till they become a joke of the society. And so by doing so, what happened is you will become the superior. And now you are believed, you know, because your enemy are not trained with the you're prepared ahead of time to dismantle your enemy by really bringing this information into a situation where, you know, their logic and their truth become sham and becomes a lie, you know, and you become superior. You know, we see that's happening now everywhere that the Muslim are running for political office, for example.
Hmm. Well, we're certainly seeing it here in the United States as well, where people are being criticized for daring to speak out against Islam or some of these attacks, as we mentioned there in Sweden. Sweden has certainly become a mess. There was a guy that I follow on Twitter. He goes by the name of Peter Sweden, and we'll actually link him up on today's show page if other people want to give him a follow. And it's astonishing what he says. It seems like every single day he talks about some new assault in Sweden, you know, mainly these rape gangs that go around all of these Islamic immigrants that have gone there. But he talks too about these people that are being jailed for daring to speak out. It's shocking here in America to think that people are being jailed simply for speaking out and daring to say, hey, these Muslim immigrants are attacking people. We should do something.
Yes, you know, it's part of the Islamic culture. Number one is to subjugate the culture. It's part of Sharia. Anytime you see that Muslims are doing this, they are trying to enforce Islamization of a culture by force, meaning when you shame and rape and destroy the couth of a nation and whatsoever, a nation is not standing against you, but allowing you and cheering you and lifting you up to fulfill your agenda. And so what happened is by design, your culture will fade away and their culture will replace their culture.
So in Islamic countries like Saudi Arabia or Iran, Iraq, any of these, is there any real sense of free speech?
No, there's not. As a matter of fact, we see right now in Iran, the biggest revolution, people on the street, they don't want Islam, they don't want the Khomeinis, they don't want the guard, the palace guard and what so have you. They don't want Hezbollah, they don't want any of this, because the people are being milked as a cow, like a cow. And by doing so, what happened is Iran is advancing and, really investing into their war machine to establish a hegemony over the Middle East, period. There's a race over there right now, which is Saudi Arabia lost and fell aside. But Iran now, with the accord with Turkey, you know, and all that has taken place, new accords. Now, this is really subjugating the Middle East to Islamic Sharia, which is Sharia Islamic law, which is constitution, what Islam constitute. So therefore, what happened is the people have no right. If you take your hijab off, then you disappear from your culture. The next thing, you're beaten and you're raped severely and impregnated on purpose. And then after that, they release you back to the culture, broken piece that everybody can learn from what happened to you. And if you're strong will, you may be killed. This is only on women. As far as men is much easier. You know, anytime a man that takes stand, as we see today in Iran, on the Iranian street, these people are crying out for freedom, and they're crying out for the United States of America to help them. And why? Because they've seen that this regime, since this regime took over, the poverty rate now at 85% in Iran, with slavery. People are dying from starvation and lack of medicine. You know, so why? Because that regime is just like communism or socialism. What happened? It oppressed the people until they subjugate them, until they come to complete, submission and slavery. But overall, Islam is the leader in all this understanding.
Yeah. Okay, let's go and take a break there. Coming back, we'll talk more with Kamal Saleem about some of these Islamic attacks, not only on free speech, but some actual attacks as well. Stay with us.
Oregon is crying out for new leadership, leaders that will truly represent the will of the people. A new voice, Republican Sam Carpenter, needs your help to elect him our next governor. He'll streamline state agencies, promote efficiency, and demand they be held accountable. Be an important part of making Oregon great again. Vote Sam Carpenter for governor on May 15th. See us on the web at makeoregongreatagain.com.
This is Sam Carpenter, and I approve this message. Paid for by friends of Sam Carpenter.
And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. We're talking today to Kamal Saleem. He is president of Koome Ministries. That's KOOME Ministries.com. If you want to go visit them. He is a former cultured jihadist, and but he converted to Christianity and now works to expose the dangers of Islam. And, you know, we were talking in that first segment there about the attacks on free speech, and it really is astonishing to see how far down the path we have come in terms of removing a lot of rights to free speech, that if you dare criticize Islam, all of a sudden you seem to have lost your free speech, even though apparently criticizing Christians is just fine.
That's right. That's right. And that's becoming norm because basically our pastors, our priests, our Christian leaders, they have subjugated themselves into this understanding. And now it's okay with them. It's if when somebody slap you on one cheek, you turn the other cheek. And we know that this teaching was, you know, between God, you know, children understanding what so have you. But it is, you know, the word of God says to be wise as serpent, innocent as dove. It's the, you know, when we allow darkness to start taking the place of light, you know, that is a place we're allowing this and giving them permission.
Hmm. Well, so here's the real danger of attacks on free speech and why Islamic attacks on free speech are so relevant. It's a direct attack on America itself and American ideals. I was listening to a presentation from Ravi Zacharias, who is probably my favorite evangelist, and he said America could only have come from a Judeo-Christian heritage, that the rights expressed in the Declaration of Independence of God-given inalienable rights, that all men are created equal. Only the truth of Judeo-Christian worldview could have created a nation like that. The karmic system is stratified and unequal, so you'd never would have had that come out of Buddhism or Hinduism. This notion of being given freedom by our creator, Islam would never have made a statement like that because it's a system that dictates for the masses. What are your thoughts on that? Did he get that correct?
I'm with you on Ravi Zacharias. He's an authority on the subject matter for our time, you know, and he is totally correct because Islam is a made up religion, and it's made specifically, you know, based on different event and how you can infiltrate the culture. While our belief, it's led by the Holy Spirit alive right now, we are, you know, we are engaging daily with God. So therefore, everything is rooted in Judeo-Christianity. And that's why the globalist agenda want to subjugate the white race in America, subjugate the Christian race in America, and replace them by, you know, multicultural, you know, groups that they are brought by immigration, bringing about, you know, poor people in here on purpose, but utterly they bring in here to lead the masses to establish about socializing our culture from being the way that is today. And thank God that God given us president, that he's not afraid or shy to stand against that and bringing America back to what it was.
Well, you talk about immigration there, and we talked a little bit about that in the last segment there too, with Sweden especially. I mean, it is just a complete mess right now with women being raped, and apparently law enforcement is not going after the people that raped them, and in fact are sometimes jailing the people that were raped. Is there not the will anymore, you think, within Sweden, or has Muslim influence gained so much access to the legal system that they're able to stop all this? I mean, what's your thoughts on Sweden? Can they turn this around, or do you think Sweden's a lost country?
Well, I believe, you know, unfortunately, as of now, the way things go in Sweden is a lost country. And the reason why I believe that is because when we look at socialism, and Sweden is socialized culture. So basically what happened when a social culture or a communist culture or fascist culture in a way replaces the ideal of Christianity, the Christian culture, what happened is, therefore, the atmosphere over there, it become perfectly cocoon for the Muslim people to come and instill the Islamic agenda in there. So basically, when you look at the Muslim in a society like this, if according to the teaching of Islam and the imams and the Sharia, if a woman does not wear hijab, if a woman, you know, is uncovered, you know, and she's non-Muslim, then it's lawfully for the Muslim to sexually take her, you know, or enslave her because she is a bounty for him to obtain. So therefore, without understanding where the Muslim coming from, and they want the Muslim to come and take, you know, become part of their civilization, they telling the Muslim, it's okay to take our culture and turn it from being social system to Islamic system.
Well, certainly Sweden's church has lost any real influence in the everyday lives of Swedes, and so I can certainly see how the Muslim influence is replacing that. But, you know, there have been a lot of other changes throughout Europe. There's certainly beginning to be some pushback and some really organized pushback against the Muslim immigrants. Italy, for example, just recently elected a very anti-immigrant populist leader. He's very much against open borders. What do you attribute that to? Do you think the Muslim stronghold is starting to erode? And we've got about 2 minutes here.
No, because the thing is, what we're dealing with is we're dealing with the globalist agenda like George Soros and many other like him, where they have hundreds of billions of dollars and they are not afraid to really bring about Islamization of any nation, because once the world start crying out, you know, they have issues, then the New World Order will have to come and replace that civilization. So therefore, they could not stand on their feet. If you look at London, if you look at England today, the mayor of London, he's a Muslim. The mayor of Birmingham, he's a Muslim. The mayor of Leeds is a Muslim. Blackburn, Sheffield, Oxford, Luton, Oldham, Rothschild, you know, all these are becoming Islamicized on purpose because there's billions of dollars being poured into those Islamists, by the globalists. And number two, the English people refuse to go and vote. And so therefore they stay home and allow the culture to turn, saying, I have nothing to do with this. And we've seen the children of the English are being, for example, being converted by the hundreds, and this is happening throughout Europe because we have allowed the system.
Wow, that's scary. Right, let's go ahead and take a break there. Coming up, we'll be talking about those Texas bombings. Were they Islamic related, and what would be the signs? Stay with us. And welcome back. This is the iSpy Radio Show. I'm your host, Mark Anderson, talking today to Kamal Saleem. He is president of Koome Ministries, K-O-O-M-E, ministries.com. He is a former culture jihadist, but he has converted to Christianity and now works to see Ishmael redeemed. You can visit his website once more at KoomeMinistries.com. We've been talking about free speech and the assaults here, these Islamic assaults on our rights and freedoms. And there's another one that's kind of got my ears and antennas up here because... There was three different bombings that had happened in Austin. And so I'd like to ask you, if you were an investigator, what would be the signs that you would be looking for as to whether or not this is Islamic related?
Well, we have to look at all elements. As of now, as I'm seeing all this, my suspicion, and only suspicion, it's an Islamic terrorism. We need to understand that Texas is a great, red states. It's a solid Christian, Republican, and conservative, state. Number two, so it's chosen by choice. And so number two is we need to look at those elements, these boxes, and the FBI should know this. But the unfortunate thing is we're dealing with an issue with the FBI, that the FBI is not doing the due diligence that they're supposed to, because they're still executing from Obama's, administration instead of executing from this current administration. We saw what happened, yesterday with the killing of that, Muslim boy killing three people, slitting throat of another one, and on the birthday. And then we see what happened, that's in Florida. Then we saw what happened in Vegas, for example. This man that he was shooting and killing people, finally they came, they said, well, he's connected to ISIS. We talked about it about, 3 months ago or more?
Yes.
Together, me and you on this. And I said, this is an ISIS work, And so therefore, we are seeing all this. So we need to look at the nature of the bomb, what kind of bomb that is. This is not a C4, this is not a TNT or dynamite. This is something very unique. The minute it's sniffing the air, it's blowing up. So it's a nitrate, sulfate nitrate, that's what, when it hit oxygen, it just become alive. So we need to follow the component. Where is that make? Because that's a terrorist work. The American, you know, the American people have not discovered that yet, you know, on the street. This is a military, you know, thing. This is what you execute and kill leaders. You send them an envelope, you know, it's filled with those sulfates, you know, nitrates, you know, and what happened when they opened this, it just exploded in their face and killed them. And so we need to know what country, you know, where, you know, this is, you know, where it's made at, like Syria, like, you know, Lebanon, like, you know, all those places. And we need to find out, you know, where are these people coming to execute this? Because this formula is not on the internet.
No. And, you know, you and I have talked in the past not only about the Las Vegas, and we'll come back to that here in a second, but also with the FBI itself, is that we know, and you've talked about this, how there are members of the FBI, well-placed ones who are that have ties to Islam. And so it would not be at all surprising if some of these investigations are being derailed on purpose to divert divert attention away from Islam.
By and time,
So this Las Vegas thing, there is an article out there. It's from True Pundit. We'll put it up on today's show page. It's called FBI Insiders Blow Whistle on Massive Las Vegas Cover-Up. Agents told not to investigate key evidence, including ISIS terror linked to Mandalay Bay massacre. We've got about 2 minutes here to discuss this. And just to like to read a couple of the highlights there, some of the shocking revelations include when FBI brass was provided with forensic evidence of multiple gunmen, they told the agents to stand down and focus only on Paddock. When FBI brass was given evidence that the shooting was possibly linked to Antifa radicals working with ISIS-linked terrorism faction, including the full identities of some of the suspects, again, they were told to stand down. When intelligence officials approached the FBI and Las Vegas Police Department with external evidence that Paddock was only one member of an organized terror cell, which included as many as five gunmen, the compelling evidence was once again covered up and never pursued. So, I'm thankful that at least somebody's investigating it from this angle. But like you said, this was what you and I had talked about months ago.
Yes, that's exactly right. This is, you know, the FBI understand the game, but we need to understand when the Muslim Brotherhood walked into FBI and removed over 1,000 curriculum, you know, CARE, Council American Islamic Relation, and ISNA, Islamic Society of North America, by, you know, the President Obama administration allowing them to do this. They were replaced by Islamic agenda, you know, integration and terrorist activity, where the American people become the bad people and the burden is on us versus on the radical or on the terrorist herself. So when we see all this, we know that we are set up to be injured, and we're seeing this is not the first time. This is multitude of times. We heard about what happened yesterday in Florida. This young boy, he was invited to a birthday, and as he was in the birthday, he slit the throat of one little boy, and then he stabbed the mother a multitude of times, like 60-something time, and another brother multitude of time. And when they asked him why he did this, he said, I'm not crazy. This is my duty as a Muslim. Yeah. And he was on the FBI radar, and the FBI didn't do anything toward him. You go like, well, wait a second. Why was he allowed to get away? This is a failure by design.
Yeah, it is absolutely shocking that our own government is protecting the people out there attacking Americans instead of protecting Americans. Definitely a lot of interesting revelations in that article. Another one just being that an ISIS-linked businessman from Turkey was pinpointed during that investigation. It was actually living near Las Vegas at the time. As I said, we'll link that up on iSpyRadio.com. Stay with us when we come back with Kamal. We'll be talking about the Gaza peace process. And welcome back. We're talking today to Kamal Saleem. He is president of Qum Ministries. He is a former culture jihadist who had come here to America to destroy it from within. But he turned his life over to Jesus, and his mission now is to see Ishmael redeemed. In fact, let's talk a little bit about your ministry, because I think it's so important what you guys are out there doing. Your website is Qum Ministries. Qum is K-O-O-M-E, ministries.com. And, of course, we'll link that up on iSpyRadio.com. You've got a number of great resources there. If people... because I know that you're under attack, certainly for exposing the truth that you are, but you get invited to churches to come and speak. So if there's a church out there that's listening and would like to have you come in, you certainly have a number of programs that you can do. But talk to us a little bit about some of the resources, too. on your website that are available for pastors or you would like to suggest your pastor to get for our listeners out there, and also how our listeners could support you?
Well, we have variety from all the doctrines of for Islam, or the making of Islam, the Islam 101, and all of them are written from Islamic perspective and not from American perspective or Christian perspective. And then we have other books and materials specifically about the agenda, those behind the scene and how they want to destroy our culture and the purpose of destroying our culture, and all, not just, here talk, but evidence, articles, people, naming convention that our government refused to put out in the open. So when we look at all this, and we have a multitude of things, is we need to know how to reach the Muslims. We need to look at our unveiling series. The unveiling series teach you how to reach the Muslim properly, and also how to really work with the Muslims. And then we need to understand that a great amount of the Muslims that they come in here in the United States of America, when the church fails to engage them, that the Islamists are engaging them, and they are turning them against this nation, and this nation becoming under attack. So when we look at all those elements, we come to understand that America today is no longer where it used to be. Mm. The elements are within our walls, and we need to understand without that knowledge base that we provide, the unveiling series, and how they infiltrated our sphere of influence, that's the unveiling series, and how they control our nation from within, and who these people are and how they're doing it, then we will never understand how to withstand against the radicals. We have all this and so much more.
So it's not just so that people know that even though it says Qum Ministries, it's actually much more than just, talking about the different religions. But it's also that political side of things. If a county Republican Party member wanted to get a hold of those, that would be a great resource for them to have, that maybe they can share there among their membership so that they understand the real threat that's against them and against America.
Yes, and we can come and educate on this. Yes, we have curriculum, college curriculum to teach at university, Christian universities. We are, we have, element to really reach this. These are not biased. These are real. These are from experiences, bring us to your city, because it's really, the time is very short. One day we're going to see our maker and he's going to say, why didn't you do this? Mm. Ultimately, it's going to come to leadership in America, say we did not allow it because it did not fit our agenda.
Yeah. During the break there, we were talking about the forced Islamization of America and why the left wants that. Why don't you talk to us a little bit about that?
Well, this is a tyranny of shaming. That's what it comes to. This is they're coming against, specifically targeting the Anglo-Saxons, because now they are prejudiced because they're white, born white. They are coming against our constitution. They're coming about to paint, if you are male, you could not speak about abortion because that's a woman issue, not a man issue. Talk about, many, many things. They're trying to really cut our nation into pieces. And so why do we need to understand this? The liberal understood that the Muslim are not afraid to kill themselves by killing this culture, destroying their life and destroying this culture. So therefore, they are championing the Islamism. Not the Muslims, but Islamism, meaning they want radical Muslim. And in their teaching, they're teaching them is you don't need to assimilate our culture. We need you to practice your own culture within the United States of America. And that's against our, constitution. So why they are doing this in a nutshell, really? It's because when they believe that the more Islamist radical they come here, which is when Islamism, secularism, liberalism, socialism, fascism, communism, they unite together in destroying culture and bringing the culture apart. All of them have the same heart, the same ideology, and the same benefit reaping when they destroy this culture. So who are their enemy? The enemy are the conservatives, those who stood with President Trump, for example. And so therefore, that's why they are withstanding President Trump and his organization so they can allow the immigration, refuge cities, and whatsoever. It's not about the Mexican. We keep talking about the Mexican. The Mexican is only a front. It's a frame. but it is what's inside. It's about Islamization our United States culture. Because when the Muslim are come here and we allow their Sharia, so therefore we could not speak about our freedom. That will destroy the First Amendment, Second, Third, and Fourth. So therefore, Islam will replace our culture, our constitution, all of it by design. And so therefore, since the liberal here in America lost their battle, now they bring in the Goliath of Islamism to fight their battle, and that's why they champion it.
Wow. Okay, we did not talk about the God's Peace Process, so we will do that in the next segment. Fascinating stuff here with Kamal Saleem. Stay with us.
Our beautiful state of Oregon needs help. We have a growing list of problems while the bureaucracy in Salem chips away at our freedoms. There is a solution. A Republican, Sam Carpenter, wants to serve as our next governor. Sam has the knowledge, common sense, leadership, and determination to make Oregon great again. Your vote, May 15th, will do that. Help elect Sam Carpenter for governor. See him on the web at MakeOregonGreatAgain.com.
This is Sam Carpenter, and I approve this message. Paid for by friends of Sam Carpenter.
This is the iSpy Radio Show. Talking today to Kamal Saleem. He's president of Qum Ministries. He's a former cultured jihadist, but he now works to expose the danger of Islam and to also bring Muslims to the freedom and liberty of Jesus Christ. His website is Qum Ministries, K-O-O-M-E, ministries.com. You know, it is just amazing to listen to you and the never-ending assault on freedom and on America. And just to mention again, you've got some great resources up there on your site, not just for Christians and pastors, but also political leaders as well. You really need to understand the threat against our country and why it's happening. I would like to talk a little bit about the Gaza peace process that is going on right now. This week, there was a meeting there at the White House. It got really overshadowed because of the firing of Rex Tillerson. But the Gaza peace process, they are trying to get some dialogue going there. But on the very day that this was going on and these leaders were meeting at the White House, there was the attempted assassination of the Palestinian prime minister by Hamas. Hamas was the one out there trying to kill.
Yes.
I mean, how on earth is Israel ever supposed to strike peace with these entities if Hamas and Palestine are supposedly on the same side and yet they're out there trying to kill each other?
Well, the Palestinian Authority so far it's considered not strong enough, meaning Mahmoud Abbas, the PA. He is not qualified to lead his position, yet he is selected and elected by the special group called the PLO, Palestinian Liberation Organization, and that's Christian and Muslims, and that's what make him, you know, dangerous. You know, so he is wanted by the majority. Hamas group understand that the only way they can lead is by replacing him. And by replacing him, they must have to execute and take him out. How do we know this? This is exactly what they did in Lebanon. Who did it? Iran. It was Hezbollah that was killing the senators and House representatives and replacing them with Shia, you know, radical to replace, you know, to change the Lebanese culture politically. And so therefore, Hamas is trying to take over hostily, you know, by doing so because they want to be aggressive. And by doing so, who's helping them is Turkey and Iran is behind them. And so therefore, they can bring the region down, Saudi Arabia, Gaza strips, and then south of Lebanon, Hezbollah and Hamas and all this, and they do a counterattack against Israel. All of it is in preparation for such time as this. And so therefore, they have to change Gaza. Tillerson has been removed specifically because his alliance with the Muslims. So let's examine that a little bit. He was ExxonMobil executive, and then he his alliance all you know with the Muslim region all over from Iran to every other nation, just like the Bushes, like the George W. Bush Senior and Junior. Both of them have the same alliance and the same people that they support and behind. So therefore, it's in their agenda specifically to bring about, you know, open doors. All they do is to open doors for things to happen for the Muslims. And so therefore, when their policy is against the president policy on many different things from Iran. Iran was the major issue. Middle East on Turkey and all of it, we come to understand that Tillerson was, you know, he is working indirectly to open gates for Islamization of the United States of America. And that's what a lot of people are not seeing. So therefore, what happened, that was a good thing that he was removed. I'm glad it happened.
Well, I did not know that about Rex Tillerson. It doesn't surprise me, knowing what we know about how so many of these guys have been infiltrated. I just find that shocking. It's interesting, too, that to hear these different warring factions. Does the Middle East, meaning the Arabs of the Middle East, do they not want peace, or is it simply they don't want peace with Israel? Because it doesn't sound like they want peace with anybody.
No, they don't, because we need to understand that the Great Commission of Islam is made specific for Islam to conquer the whole world and bring in about Islamic hegemony, you know, one world order under Allah, and that's called Ummah in Arabic. And so therefore they must establish the caliphate and ultimately to lead the Muslim nations. And we see this now is in the making. And then we see, and the next thing, they must establish Islamic Sharia, which is Islamic constitution laws, in every Western hemisphere. So therefore, it can subjugate the culture to Islamization. And so therefore, by doing so, it is ultimately, to buy time and establish the Islamic power for the final invasion and utterly subjugate the West and say the whole world now Islamic, because if America is brought down and the West, then nobody can withstand Islam.
Only got about a minute here with you. Just getting back to Rex Tillerson, what kind of message does his firing, you think, does that send to these Arab countries?
It's a good message that you've been found, and we know who you are. We're not going to work your way. There's one way in here, and it's called the United States, and we'll work with you if you want us to, and if you don't want us to work with you, you're not going to have your way, which is establishing Islamic civilization, which is one world order under Allah. So this message is not going also to Islam, but it's going to Russia, it's going to China, it's going to North Korea, it's going to everybody, and what America is now taking a stand on all those elements, it's changing everything, and the deep state within our government need to be flushed out, literally, specifically the FBI. So when we see several of the leadership out there, they still are with the Islamic, sleeping with the in the same bed with the Muslim radical nations. We need to see those people, and we need to remove them utterly.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's go and take a break, and then coming back, we'll wrap things up with Kamal Saleem, and I'd like to ask him whether or not he thinks Trump gets it about Islam. Stay with me. And welcome back. We're in our final segment now with Kamal Saleem. He is a former culture jihadist, and his website is Koom Ministries, KOOMEMinistries.com. Tons of great resources up there. And also, when you're there, be sure to support him as well. He would love to get a donation just to help him keep going. Big fights that he's involved in. And, I teased it on going out there in that last segment. But do you think Trump gets it when it comes to Islam?
Absolutely. This man is more in tune with everything, but he... his focus must be first on controlling the borders and who's coming to our nation. And once he controls this, then he can suffocate the Islamist agenda within the United States of America and turn against the Muslim Brotherhood and declare them as a radical organization.
I sure hope that he does, because when I look at how we're letting people in, it would be like in the 1930s allowing a whole bunch of Nazi Germanys to come in, Germans to come in and take a residence. You just don't let the enemy in your gates. So I do hope, in fact, that he does get it. In the time that we have left with you, we only got about 5 minutes here, but I'd like to talk a little bit about South Africa, because it's fascinating what's happening there. After about 30 years of Marxist leadership, they're now changing their constitution to allow their parliament to go in and seize land owned by these white farmers. This is shocking, but we know also that Africa, a lot of nations are growing in their own Muslim populations. Is what we're seeing there related at all to Islam?
Yes. What we're seeing over there, we're seeing involvement of Turkey and Iran. They are moving very, you know, powerfully over there. And we're seeing Boko Haram, and we're seeing many other elements are moving to take that nation. The presence of the white people over there, the white South African, what happened is because they are keeping prosperity in South Africa. And so therefore, the global agenda wanting to utterly destroy that culture and by, you know, bringing discrimination against them because when Islam is minority, they are in jeopardy and they're crying out. Nobody's looking at us. But when they become majority, the minority has no power. And we're seeing right now that the majority over there, the Muslim majority, doesn't want the white farmer. And so why would they want to do this, you know? And so now, after the white farmers and the land, the prosperity is moved from South Africa, then the next thing we're going to see clashes between the Christians, the Muslims, and whatsoever, and different factions. And we're going to see a great immigration, the amount of people leaving South Africa by massive number. And this is designed specifically by globalists. And why is it designed by globalists? Is to move, to smother the West with socialism, Islamism, all this ism system. So, you know, the Western system could not stand on its feet anymore.
Well, it is really shocking to think that these farmers are being targeted simply because they're white. And I think on the other side, you'll have people saying, well, it's due justice in some way because they took the land away from the blacks. Talk to us a little bit in the time that we have remaining, which is about 2 minutes, how Islam is exploiting the whole racist movement.
Well, you know, the way that when you look at these white South African, what happened to Christians? So therefore, you know, there's an entrance to this. Number one, they're Christian. Second one, they're capitalist. Third, that they are, you know, what they have is ours, meaning, you know, we must socialize the culture. And as long as these people are in charge, we cannot do what we have to do. So the globalist agenda is specifically to demolish this, all those power and authority. Basically, they want to bring about, you know, that Africa will fall apart and goes into famine. You know, they're trying to move the African system all the way from there to the Western civilization. So therefore, what happened is, it's just like what's happening in the United States of America. Just because you're white, it doesn't mean that you're racist because you were born white. Just because you're a majority, it doesn't mean that you are, you know, you hate, you know, black people, or you hate, you know, Muslims or whatsoever. But they're painting it this way specifically so they can destroy the culture. First, you shame them. Second, you really start assaulting them. Third, you kill them, and the world will stand with you because it's your right, and nobody's listening to the other part.
Well, I know it gets back into what, you know, the whole idea of racism. It gets back into something that you and I have talked about in the past, which is that Islam really taps into that whole anger that people have, because you yourself actually used to go after people that were in the jail or had been in the jail in order to convert them.
Yes, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Well, it's unfortunate, and as we said, we are always constantly under attack. Our freedoms are always constantly under attack, and socialism for sure, you know, which is what we're seeing there in South Africa, combined with Islam, I mean, it's just an equal opportunity to crush your dreams.
May I say something?
Oh, sure.
This is a lesson for the United States of America. What is that lesson? Is watch and learn, because this is coming here. It's going to happen to us whether we like it or not. So we need to be prepared. We need to register to vote. We need to be involved everywhere. Since Trump been elected, now they have at least 27 seats that they have taken back, you know, the liberal. And why they want this nation to fall, you know. And so therefore, if we don't do our job, it's not their fault. It's our fault.
It's a shock. There are always enemies of freedom. Kamal, I want to thank you so much for being a champion of freedom.
Thank you so much for allowing me to be part of your life.
All right. If you've never heard of Ravi Zacharias, we have some links up on this week's show page, including that video that I talked about earlier. He had been a professor at Nyack College, my alma mater, a little bit before I got there, but he knew the academic life wasn't his calling, and he became an evangelist and Christian apologist. He founded a Christian Apologetics Institute with the mission of helping the thinker believe and helping the believer think. Today, Ravi Zacharias International Ministries Institute trains hundreds of apologists to respond to attacks on Christianity and be a voice in society. Every year, they reach millions of people in the U.S., Canada, Latin America, Europe, Africa, Asia, and India. None of that would have ever happened if not for one businessman who stepped up to support him, which made it possible for Ravi to then touch millions of lives. Never underestimate the power of good people to do great things. Consider supporting the people on the front line, because as we say every week, the best information does you no good if you don't use it. Reagan, what do you think?
I do not believe in a fate that will fall on us no matter what we do. I do believe in a fate that will fall on us if we do nothing.
It's more than a show. It's self-defense. The I Spy Radio Show.